the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Friday, May 10th, 2019.
And we have not done our vocal warm-ups.
Now we have. That was it. Professionals. So, Casey, we had a good week in basketball.
We did have a good week in basketball. It was very, very exciting. A lot of drama. I don't know if you've seen all the drama that's been happening, but it's been a week. And the number one most important piece of drama is just a little bitty baby cow.
What's that?
Kevin Durant's calf strain.
Oh my God.
All right, I'm cut from the podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know what? Let's talk about... how much do you want to talk about Lakers stuff?
I would love to talk about Lakers stuff. Can we do that at the end? To just like,
let's do it at the end, because then you can stop listening to the podcast. Yes. We'll say here's the stupid Lakers drama.
Here's the stupid Lakers
update,
drama.
And you can just delete the podcast because I'm so annoyed by it, and I think it's all so stupid. Lakers fans are ridiculous. And I have been a Laker fan longer than most of the people on fucking Reddit going crazy.
Ooh, a Reddit call out. My favorite thing.
Hey, let's talk about Sixers Raptors.
Yes, let's do that. Game 5 and game 6. Just home blowouts.
Yeah, I mean, this is... first of all, it's very exciting we're going to get some game 7s. And I was thinking last night, as a fan, I get so nervous going into game 7s.
Yes.
It just feels so tenuous.
Yeah.
When you're the road team, it's like, well, of course they're going to win. It's a home game.
Yeah.
But then even when you root for the home team, it's like, if I always just feel like, well, I mean, they only had to steal one game and this could be the one.
It's nerves, man. It's so nerves.
So I was thinking last night, I wonder if there are some players who enjoy going into a game 7.
I don't know. I feel like, there's a ton of pressure, but if you have the right mindset, maybe there's no pressure. It's just one game.
Yeah.
Right. And it, you know, sometimes it's over by halftime. It's like, all right, hey, it's great.
I do think probably on some level, there's probably a fair number of players in any professional sports league that feel some pressure, but are also like, yeah, but I'm a millionaire and this is just a game. This is my job.
Yeah.
That a lot of people care more about than I do.
Yeah. I feel like nobody's going to admit it.
Yeah, no one will ever say that out loud.
Tim Anderson, did you hear this on the sports news? Tim Anderson's the shortstop for the White Sox. He's having a great year, a real breakout season. And somebody's asked him, what do you think about all the other teams in the league this year? And he was like, I don't watch baseball. Baseball's boring. oh, fuck, man.
That's true.
You don't say that shit.
Does that break the code?
It breaks the code.
Is he going to get plunked?
But that's the same type of thing. You would never say no, man, I don't care about this shit. I'm a millionaire. I got better things to do.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody who plays basketball, it feels like, puts up the facade that they love basketball, except for, Andrew Bynum Larry Sanders.
Larry Sanders. Yeah.
Who is now going to play in the Big Three.
Hey,
so
good for him.
Yeah, don't worry, you guys. We'll have your Big Three updates over the summer when it's happening.
Yeah, it's mostly big guys that don't care about basketball.
Yeah, because they're just
if you're 6 foot tall, you have to care about basketball.
You gotta love the game. You got the love of the game clause in your contract.
Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about that while I was thinking about Sixers and Raptors going into Game 7.
Yeah.
This will be a Raptors home game.
Yes, it will.
So, yeah, I don't know. I still find, by the way, this last game, game 6, they got an okay game from Kawhi.
They did.
They didn't get those monster games.
No. And in game 5, they didn't get the monster game from Kawhi. They got the monster game from everybody else.
Right.
Everybody else stepped up in that game 5 in a way where it was like, oh, well, if they're on,
really need it.
There's no way you can win that game. Cause Kawhi had a game where it was like a little less than, monster, robot Kawhi.
Right. And then he kind of had another good but not game. Great game, yes. In game 6.
Correct.
And then,
And it doesn't, it didn't feel in either of those games like that was because the Sixers were doing defense.
They were clamping down on him.
It didn't feel like that.
Right.
It felt just like he was kind of falling back to earth. One of those great regressions to the mean.
One thing about this year's playoffs is I feel like they're a little bit damaging to a lot of young players' reputations.
Ooh.
Donovan Mitchell.
Reputation damaged.
Tatum.
Damaged.
But I would say Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Damaged.
Have gotten a little bit of tarnish on their shine.
I mean, people are mad at them for not being world beaters, right?
Especially Embiid because he's such a trash talker.
Yes.
And has talked about the process so much.
Yeah, and I mean, they had a good game six, but they were... They're basically absent from games 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
Right? So here's where we go into... does having like a little tummy ache dismiss you from like needing to play well?
No, not at all.
Does having like real bad shits make you give you like an excuse not to play well?
No.
Where's the line? Like, what line did Embiid have to cross over? Like, what level of mud pie did he have to get to really make this thing pop?
Look, he took too small a slice.
Too small a slice.
I think that the problem is that Embiid it belies a potential fragile character on Joel Embiid's part.
Oh,
that he's somebody who likes to trash talk, that he's a front runner for himself. You know,
this is an absurd take.
Oh no, I think this is like. I don't think people would care if it was, even if it was Ben Simmons going like, I got the shit, I didn't have a very good game. But for Embiid, it feels like excuse making in a way that's...
But has he been making this excuse or has everyone else been making the excuse for him? Because I haven't heard him have one soundbite of like, yeah, I'm too sick, I'm not playing well. Right.
I guess some of them I feel like, why are they even releasing some of this information?
I mean, yeah, why is Joel Embiid releasing any of this stuff?
I mean, he should be releasing stuff. As Tig Notaro would say, let that shit flow.
Let the shit flow.
She had a bit way back in the day about diarrhea and buying anti-diarrheal medication.
Yes.
And she was like, you shouldn't do that. Your body is... There's something in your body and your body's trying to shoot it out of you.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing, though. What if you really need to go swimming?
Well, there's always a sign that says if you've had diarrhea in the last 14 days.
Exactly. That's why you take the pills if you're an avid swimmer.
Yes. Even with the pills.
No, with the pills, it's anti-diarrhea. It clogs you right up. Oh, nothing's coming out.
The pill you put in your butt, it's so big. It's
like... sounds like somebody watched SNL this weekend.
Is that a thing?
That was No. There absolutely
just
was.
Just great minds think alike.
Yeah. Sandler hosted, and it was a bit about a new prescription drug for erectile dysfunction that was just a butt plug.
Ah. So anyway, I don't know. It's just for someone who's talked it up a lot. It's like a bigger version of Hassan Whiteside.
No, I completely disagree. I completely disagree. If you talk shit, sometimes you get hit. Right, that's just how it works. If you talk shit, you're not gonna
talk shit. Sometimes you actually shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, really, seriously, I don't think that him playing poorly is an indictment of his talking shit.
Oh no, I don't think the playing poorly isn't great. But like, I'm talking about he played poorly. Well, he was this, he was that. He's, you know.
I mean, yes, people are making excuses for him, but does that indict him or does it indict the people? I think it indicts the people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's going to play how he's going to play, and he's going to talk shit all the time. And that's just who he is and how he plays. Right? And he has backed it up enough where it's like, all right, I think it's fun that he talks shit. And I don't think that him talking shit is a referendum, or him even playing bad in a couple of games is a referendum on him as a player. I think that...
No, I don't think so, but as I said, I think it's just a little glimpse.
Okay.
Into...
So it's the beginning of a referendum. It's a motion.
It's the same as last week when I was like, I think we're at the beginning of the end of the Stephen Curry era.
Ooh, okay, all right.
I think we're at the same way that like I was like, is there a ceiling on this Jason Tatum thing?
You need to start doing a magic trick with tarot cards so you can see the future.
Prediction. So I think that Joel Embiid's like public persona as the shit talker, blah, 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 is more is not as robust as we would like it to be.
Okay.
Because what you would like it to be is like after every one of these games, he kind of comes out and is like, man, I stunk it up. You know, like, and I don't mean because of his condition.
Hey. Oh, man.
You know, like somebody like Kobe, who after a game was just like, well, I sucked in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, this probably goes back to it being a job.
Yeah.
Is that we all want them all to like, man, you shot so poorly. Oh, man, you should just get in the gym. Like, you missed 7 free throws. You should get in the gym tonight and shoot free throws all night.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I'm done with my job. I'm going home. I'm going to watch I Think You Should Leave on Netflix. I'm sure they're all watching.
It's time to catch up on Killing Eve on my Sling TV subscription. Yeah.
You know, like, so I think that's a fantasy that we have as fans. We're just like, oh, I can so clearly see the flaws in your game, you know. Yeah. But I think for a lot of people, and I think for me, seeing some of Embiid's lowlights from the last couple games has been frustrating in a, like, a lot of the turnovers particularly just feel very frustrating to watch.
It feels like that's the way that he plays even when he's playing well.
Uh-huh.
Right? The bounces go for him, and it's always a little awkward, but it's also always a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't have this, like, I don't see this as a negative thing. Like, I'm not reading into the tea leaves and going, I think this is the beginning of the end for the dominant Joel Embiid.
Oh, I mean, I think he'll still be dominant. What I want him to be is a playoff dominant player.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean about these playoffs. Like, I believe that he and Ben Simmons have talent to be world-class dominant players in the league. So I believe this playoffs has been a little bit of like slow your roll on that.
Okay. All right. This is their second real playoffs, right?
That's what I mean. Like, I think that the media narratives and the like fan base has been so strong. Like, we're at a different level now with Twitter and Reddit and all that stuff, where people are getting sort of, maybe this happened before, but like this last couple classes of like drafts, people have been anointing players as like at the same level as the superstars.
Yeah.
Pretty early in their careers. And we're just seeing the first couple playoff runs for some of them. And it's like a lot of it is just like playoffs basketball is just harder.
Yeah.
So, you know, before we say that like Donovan Mitchell is even as good as like Paul George or Jimmy Butler, even though I really think like in some people, and I can feel this, like in the way we regard them, it's kind of like, yeah, man, Donovan Mitchell's a superstar, and so is Paul George, and so is Jimmy Butler. But like two of them have like a lot more experience in the playoffs than one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can see the same thing happening 2 years from now in Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
That people are going to be like, oh, man, wait till he gets to the playoffs. You know, he's still a kid. He's like 21 or 2 at that point.
I mean, it's very rare nowadays that you have young players contributing above their pay grade consistently in the playoffs. That's why it was so interesting to see Jason Tatum last year playing so well in the playoffs.
It's actually rare for the veterans to contribute consistently.
I guess it's rare for anyone to contribute consistently because it's very rare to make it far into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Only 4 teams make it to the conference finals every year. Right. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Only 8 to the conference semifinals.
Whoa!
And no more than 17 make it to the playoffs.
There might be 17 teams in the playoffs next
year. Yeah, that's why it's so disappointing, this potential Kevin Durant injury.
Yeah.
Because he's had one game where he scored 22 points. Like, he's been probably the most consistent playoff contributor.
Yes.
And the most, like, the highest scoring and the most consistent.
Yeah.
So it's kind of disappointing on that.
Yeah, level. I mean, you know, the best 3 players in the playoffs, who would you say that they've been so far?
KD, Giannis, and Kawhi.
Okay. Does Nikola Jokic get up there?
Yeah. He probably would be. I might put right him there instead of Kawhi at this point.
I mean, yeah, who do you fucking cut?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Jokic has more counting stats than any of those players.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's been in 2 7-game series.
Now, yeah. Do you want to talk about Warriors or you want to talk about Nuggets? Nuggets.
So let's first make a good little prediction for what's going to happen in the Sunday game for Game 7 for the Sixers.
Very good. I believe the Raptors are going to win.
I'm going to say that the Sixers are going to win. I'm going to double back down on my switching of allegiances mid-series. I think that the Sixers are the
better team. Casey Lawrence of 2018 would be...
I'd be mortified.
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 And livid at you for giving up on the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, you know what?
Unless it was Casey Lawrence of late 2018. Yeah, no. Because then he'd be like, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends on what day of 2018 you got to get the whole squad together.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I think we are not in agreement here. I'm excited to see what happens on Sunday.
I'm going to put triple down
Ooh.
One more time on my belief and hope that Kyle Lowry has a good game.
Wow.
I think he's going to score.
Because he's had one good game this playoffs.
Which is not good.
I mean, you know, out of like 10 games, that's like bad.
You know what might help you be more more consistent as a player?
Practice.
I think he's going to score 20 points in Game 7, and they're going to win.
Okay.
All right. Honestly, I feel like if he scores 20 points, they're unbeatable.
Yeah.
Like,
which is so silly.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Then, yeah, I'm thinking Ben Simmons goes 12 for 15, and they take this going away.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be like...
I think it's going to be a blowout.
Wow.
Yeah, right? I'm just throwing the hot takes left and right. I'm like a pitching machine that you go to that you're a little overmatched on.
You're like a Pat Connaughton at a Class A
Yay.
Game. Okay, good. So you got Sixers. I have Raptors.
Yes.
The Bucks are in. To the
Bucks
next level.
Are in. The Eastern Conference Finals are half set.
You called this series right on.
I did. I did. And then I got Paul pierced after Game One because we made our Rule of Threes official late Round One yes. predictions. And I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have trusted Paul Pierce.
Is that a gentleman's sweep, by the way?
It is technically a gentleman's sweep.
Okay.
Because any 4-1 is a gentleman's sweep. The most notable type of gentleman's sweep is win the first three games, lose the fourth one, win the fifth one.
Oh.
That's the
why it's called gentleman's sweep.
Yes, because it's polite to let them have one. But this is also a gentleman sweep because you give them the first game, make them think they have hope, and then you gentlemanly sweep them away in the other four.
What were you saying about Paul Pierce?
So Paul Pierce after Game One was like, series is over. Celtics are going to win. Very funny, of course, because Paul Pierce, while being a goofy guy, is not there to provide like cognizant good NBA analysis. He's there to be funny,
right.
Be goofy, and also be a Celtics stan.
Right.
Which is like
a useful role.
A useful role. People like that. He got Chance in Milwaukee in Game 5. Did you hear these chants?
No.
They were Paul Pierce sucks. He got Paul Pierce sucks chants throughout Milwaukee in Game 5, which is the funniest thing that's ever happened. I was dying because like, who else would get those chants like years later?
Yeah, the thing is,
he hasn't
like,
played in years.
That's actually just like an enormous compliment.
Yeah.
That an entire arena cares what you think about when you're not even on the court.
I mean, yes, that's one way to think about it. Or 20,000 people you've never met dunked on you. Right? One of those two. Like one of those things is true. And maybe it's both of them. You know, maybe you can get dunked on and get complimented.
Yeah. The Celtics, who looked kind of like a mess the entire regular season.
Yes. Because, as we said many times, they were up and they were down. Like, there was that time when they had that three-game winning streak on the West Coast, and they beat the Warriors by 30 points.
Yeah.
And it was a fucking drubbing. And then there were the other times when they'd lose to the Washington Wizards a bunch. And it was just like, don't lose to the Washington
Wizards. I think this is what makes basketball beautiful and sort of unknowable, is that there's these elements of, like, chemistry and how guys get along.
Yeah.
And they never looked like they got along.
No, because everybody was just mad that Kyrie came back after the injury and was like, oh, you guys did this? I know how to do this.
Yeah. All right? Oh, I'm back. Now we're going to go as far.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm Kyrie. I know what I'm doing. Here's the thing, Kyrie. You ain't know what you're doing.
So the thing is, they had the same team as last year.
Plus
Kyrie.
And the shell of Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, yeah. But even the same team plus Kyrie.
Yeah.
You would think, and without LeBron in the conference.
I'm sorry, I do have to ask one question. Why did Riot nerf Gordon Hayward? That's what I want to know, right? Like, they gave him that intro video at the beginning of the season for League of Legends. Why did Riot nerf Gordon Hayward? Who nerfed Gordon Hayward, okay? It wasn't in the patch notes.
I don't know. League of Legends, I played Dota.
I mean, yeah. Same fucking thing.
Which I recently uninstalled.
Ooh, productivity.
It's just, there's a direct connection between how much Dota I play and how much other stuff I get done.
Yeah, 100%.
But they released all this great stuff recently.
Yeah, great.
They released a battle pass where you can, after a game, flag players to never be on your team again.
Ooh.
Which is actually very like, ooh, this will make the game fun.
Yeah, that's smart. I'm sure with the 2 million people that play, you'll find those same people again and again and again.
It happens all the time because you're at a similar matchmaking ring.
Oh, shit. All right, yeah, I didn't think about it.
You know who probably flagged Kyrie to never be on his team again?
Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum. So wait, can we just name the whole Celtics roster?
Would Terry Rozier move up to a starter?
If Kyrie leaves and they keep him? Yeah. Yes.
Because I didn't follow Celtics drama that much. Was there a big thing about Rozier, like them being like, you're going to be a bench player?
Yes.
Okay. What was that? Give me the...
Terry Rozier didn't want to be a bench player, and Kyrie came back and they said, you're a bench player, and he bitched about it in private and then was just snarky about it all season.
It's weird. What would you expect?
I don't know.
Like, what case could Terry Rozier make to be like, I'm better than him?
He should
come off the bench.
Terry Rozier is 6 feet tall and he loves the game of basketball. So right? He's not a 7 foot guy who doesn't care about the game of basketball.
Kyrie, however, is 5'11".
Kyrie is 4'3". That's how he dribbles so well.
It's just odd.
Uncle Drew's 6'3".
It's just odd that he would think that there was even a competition for, unless he wanted to start next to Kyrie.
I mean, a thing that might happen, but seems weird. I don't know.
I think that,
here's the thing. He wanted a trade. He wanted out of there. He wanted to be somewhere where he could be the man.
I see. And they were right. Like, let's ice you for a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, let's see what happens with Kyrie.
And, like, ice is the wrong word because they played him, but they played him, what I think he averaged, like, 22 minutes a game, right? Which is not what he wants to be. He wants to be playing 35.
Right.
So, I got to be, like, oof on that.
I mean, but if they have him for a couple of years, now they have the convenience of probably losing Kyrie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Kyrie doesn't, first of all, obviously from like a intangibles point of view, it seems like he's going to leave because doesn't seem like he...
Everyone hates him.
Yeah. But also on the court, he doesn't mesh that well with those guys.
No.
I don't know exactly who he meshes with, given how sort of tunnel visioned his game can get sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not those guys. Like, it might have been that the best possible combo was with LeBron because it lets LeBron, like, take plays off.
Yeah.
Whereas young guys don't really want to take plays off.
Yeah, gosh. And what player has, like, a similar skill set to LeBron and is also a free agent this year? And they could, like, team up.
Yeah.
And, like, in New York.
You think Kevin Durant has a similar skill set to LeBron?
Maybe they are offensive wunderkinds who can also pass the ball. I think that Kevin Durant's a better defender.
Yeah.
I think that LeBron is a better passer. I think Kevin Durant's a better shooter.
Yeah.
But in the sense that they can sometimes have a need to take plays off.
Yeah.
Right? I guess.
I would encourage a Durant-Kyrie Knicks team. That'd be
It'd be fun.
Don't think it would really be that much of a threat. But
here's the thing. The Knicks were the only bad team in the Atlantic Division this year, right? Because we had the Celtics, the Raptors, the Sixers, and the Nets, right? All four of those teams made the playoffs, and the Knicks didn't.
Right.
Is there a version of the NBA where all five of the Atlantic Division teams make the playoffs? And the Atlantic Division has been historically pretty decent.
That would be cool. I bet it's hard because of the schedule.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I mean, if for everyone, like, it would require all of them to sort of like split all their intra-division
and then just
games.
Kill everybody else.
Yeah.
And then you end up with a Southeast division that has a winner under 500.
Yeah.
Orlando Magic, division winners 2 years in a row.
If you win the division, are you guaranteed to be in the playoffs?
You are guaranteed to be in the playoffs.
Really?
Yes.
Even if mathematically there's some way that you can be like 10 games out of the eighth seed.
Yes.
Oof. That's rough.
Yes, it is.
I hope that never happens. Although I kind of do hope it happens.
It'll I hope funny. It happens too.
So the Bucks looked good.
Yes, they did. Here's the thing.
It's just
and like, they got Malcolm Brogdon back.
Yeah.
Who in time will be good again.
Well, plus he's a good shooter. He's got some time off.
Yeah. He's rested.
There's a game seven for...
Yeah.
You know, he got a game. How many minutes did it play?
They probably played him 15 minutes. They were not... They did not need to play him.
Yeah. By the way, my pick of the Rockets beating the Milwaukee Bucks in the finals...
Looking good.
Looking better.
Like, I guess better. It's still an underdog right now.
Yeah.
Here's my question. What are you going to miss about the Boston Celtics?
Pat Connaughton? Oh, he's not a Celtic. He should be a Celtic.
He is a Celtic at heart.
If there has ever been a player that should be a Boston Celtic, it's him.
It's also very funny to me how you say his name.
Connaughton. How do you say it?
It's just Connaughton.
Connaughton. I'm saying it like I'm in Ireland.
Yes. Oh, old Pat Connaughton.
Connaughton. I don't know.
Say it like you're in Scotland.
I don't watch
practice.
Patrick. That's great.
Patrick
Connaughton.
There we go. Hey, wow.
He's great.
Somebody spent some time in Scotland.
All right, guys. He's such a great player. You've got to form a wall. Oh, all you're going to do is just make a wall. Make a wall.
They'll never take our freedom. Oh, I'm so bad at that.
I'd like to see Stan Van Gundy do the Braveheart speech.
Yes, please.
God, what will I miss?
If you want to pass.
No. I will say one thing that I think is positive that I think was a good development for them was I feel like Jaylen Brown had a pretty good playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't mind Jaylen Brown at all.
I like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. I don't really mind Tatum, but Jaylen Brown, I think, is fine.
Yeah.
And so he's good, and they had a good season building on his thing. Also, Jaylen Brown is someone that was like, here's the hot new player. And then a year later, they're like, whatever, Jaylen Brown, we got this better one that we like more. And then this year, he's kind of like, wait, actually, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate that feeling of, I felt like people kind of shelved him a little bit last year.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, maybe Tatum's eventually going to be a starter, and you can be a great six man or whatever. And in this playoffs, he was kind of like, "No, I'm older. I can bring it every night."
Yeah,
I want to say him and Horford were probably the most consistent playoff, like producers.
For them. Yeah.
So
I mean, to be fair, Kyrie was a very consistent playoff producer.
Well, remember,
he was consistently bad.
Remember, he said, "I'm not going to shoot 8 for 22."
No, and then certainly we were didn't like, get there again.
And we said he shot 7 for 22.
Yeah,
and then he shot 7 for 21 or something. But in the last game, he didn't shoot 8 for 22 either.
No, he did not.
He shot for 6 for 21.
Yes, so he didn't get back to the lofty heights of 8 for 22.
I know, that's what's insane is that he shot worse after 8 for 22.
Oh God, so funny. So is funny.
6 for 21 is worse than 8 for 22.
Yeah,
Jesus. What are you going to not miss?
Yeah,
about the Boston Celtics.
I'm not going to miss Brad Stevens' pasty ass. Get him out of here. Get them the fuck out of here. I don't give a shit about Brad Stevens. Go back to Utah. You fucking Utah idiot. He's not from Utah, but go back there. All right, get out of here.
If there's any coach that seems like they should coach the Utah Jazz, it's
fucking
Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. Get the hell out of here. I don't give a shit about Brad Stevens. Also, come coach the Lakers, please.
I mean, Brad Stevens, I do think is getting a little bit also calibrated. We're getting a lot of calibration.
Ooh.
People are like, maybe he's not the genius coach.
Ooh.
Because it's not just X's and O's.
Maybe there is no genius coach and there are only just good players.
Yes. I actually think there's a lot of truth to that. However, then there's a lot of player management and ego management that becomes part of it. And I think it's fair to say that the Celtics failed on that front this year. As many teams do.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, it's almost like the players that just succeed the best at ego management are the ones that win.
Yeah.
Because like the Spurs historically as an organization have almost like never had ego problems till last year.
Yeah.
The Lakers, the Kobe and Shaq Lakers is like a test case of the most difficult ego management you'd ever have to do.
Yeah, and they were totally good after they got rid of Shaq. Chris Mim came in and
even like the Miami Heat 3 is a form of ego management.
Yeah, and they did a good job.
Yeah.
Until LeBron was like, I gotta go home.
And I would say the current Warriors are like also a pretty great like a difficult case of ego management.
Yeah. It was going to be so interesting to look back on this after we know where Kevin Durant ends up for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Because like, here's the thing. He may just do year deals forever. But maybe also getting injured in the playoffs changes that. I don't know.
I don't know which way it changes it either.
Yeah.
Because what if they go on to win the championship without him?
Well, I mean, like, I think... not just from the Warriors standpoint, but from Kevin Durant's standpoint. Like, do I need to lock in the 4 years if I feel like my body's going to start?
That's a good point, too. Huh. I don't know. You want to talk Warriors?
Yes.
There's no prediction to be made for the Milwaukee Bucks. Although, no. I would probably just preliminarily both probably think they would beat whoever they face.
That is my opinion, yes, but we'll wait until Monday. Monday...
We'll wait till one game in.
Monday... we get all those. All the game sevens will be over. It'll be your playoff conference finals preview here on Rule of Threes.
Cool. Warriors Blazers or Nuggets? Nuggets Blazers or Warriors?
Let's do Warriors. All right, game five.
So,
down goes Durant.
Yes, yeah, so, and he's up. He's probably not going to play game six or seven.
He is not. No.
I think that. Here's my hot take. I don't think this is good for the Warriors.
Whoa! Sound the alarm!
So, by the way, I still don't think you should max Clay, even after he had a good game.
Okay.
Did you watch that game?
I did watch, I think I watched the first half and then the end of the fourth quarter.
Okay, so you saw what happened, like, where Clay almost gave the game away.
Yes.
That's why I would never...
No, dude, but his foot wasn't out of bounds, and he knew Kevon Looney was going to be there.
In the postgame, he was like, I was trying to pass it to Kevon Looney. It was like, and you watch it, you're like, who? He's not even like near where you threw the ball.
Kevon Looney wasn't even at the game. That's the weird part.
The bizarre thing is like, how did Eric Gordon miss catching that ball?
It went off his knee. You can't catch it's stuff so with your strange. Knee. It's so, what a lucky bounce, right? You know, to win a championship, you need a couple of lucky bounces. But
and then also Draymond was like, I can't believe you tried to take that layup in the postgame. He was like, Draymond was basically like, that was a bad play.
So
you
funny.
Should have passed it out and eaten up more clock.
And Draymond just like was chewing him out. And Clay just puts his shades on that have his like eyes drawn on him. So it looks like he's awake, but he's asleep.
Anyway, the problem is that, you know what's funny is if it was reversed like last year and game six was in Oakland,
yeah,
then I could see the Durantless Warriors pulling it out. But I don't think they're going to win game six.
Like, okay.
I don't think that, and I think game six is their best chance to win it.
Ooh.
Because you gain a certain amount of advantage in like let's revert to our old way of playing, and also the Rockets have not prepped for this version of the team.
They've prepped for Durant. Who do they put PJ Tucker on now? Does PJ Tucker even play? You know, it's like, no, of course he plays. I'm kidding.
But they schemed for a Durant led
Warriors,
and you know, I would hope that Curry and Clay have good games. If Curry and Clay put in games like they've been putting in,
yeah,
then they fucking deserve to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, those two guys deserve to, like...
Maybe they're finally healthy now.
Maybe. It's only been, like... I don't know. It's
been, like, a week and a half since they got injured.
But also, Curry played a lot better when KD went out. And it's like, did you get better in the middle of the game? No.
I mean, he didn't play well in the third quarter, either.
But from the point KD left,
yeah,
he scored like 16 points and went for like 5 for 9 and like went to the line like 4 times. Like,
wouldn't it be so wild if he was just sandbagging it on purpose to try to keep Kevin Durant?
Oh, to be like, we really need you?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be just the wildest thing if they were toying with everybody and just like living on the razor's edge like yeah. that? Wouldn't this weird conspiracy theory be wild?
Again, I will say, I would say the second best player on the Rockets is Eric Gordon.
Ah.
Like, he's kind of like, he's just doing very well. Harden had a good game.
Yeah.
I
mean, Harden's had some good games. I mean,
but
Harden's
I will say, to criticize Chris Paul, Harden didn't get a shot. He got like one shot in the fourth quarter or something like that. That's kind of on Chris Paul, I think.
Yeah.
If you're the leader of the team and you're honestly are not contributing much.
Yeah.
One of your jobs is maybe to get the ball to your best player.
I don't know, man. I blame Clint Capella.
Speaking of people who have like had some tarnish on their shine.
Hi-yi-yi.
Clint Capella.
Clint Capella has been proven to be a non-entity in high-leverage playoff games.
Yeah, it almost seems like what's sad is it's making it look like we could have any tall guy in there on these pick and rolls to dunk these balls.
I mean, and is Clint Capella just lucky that he is any tall guy?
And happened to be in the right situation and is good at rim running at a time when like how much of it is a distortion of just like the defense is panicking so much on these hardened pick and rolls that like, you know, I was going to say Greg Jabara, but he's a Broadway actor.
Is he
Greg
just
Ostertag?
Is he just a tall Dennis Schroeder?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, technically.
You know, can we get the all like Dennis Schroeder, Clint Capella, Rasheed Wallace?
Yeah,
and two more players with funny spots in their hair.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like Damon Stoudemire. Didn't he have a thing on his
head? Rodman, I guess.
Rodman.
Well, it's funny because Rodman, I also want... Well, so because I also want the all-scrappy team, which is Draymond, Marcus Smart, PJ Tucker. I don't know who else would go. It's funny. I feel like there's less...
Tony Allen?
Yeah. Who's a big guy, though, that can go on that team?
A big guy that can go on that
scrappy.
Team. Ooh, a real scrappy big guy.
He wouldn't, but I've been surprisingly...
Oh, Gobert.
Yeah,
I'm putting Gobert on that scrappy team.
That would be an insane team to try to play against.
Oh man, just the
go back it up at the offense.
Go back to college days, 20-25 score.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the Warriors Rockets? I don't know. You think they're gonna win?
I do think the Warriors are gonna win, and here's why. I think that this Rockets team is this year punching above their pay grade. And I think that in one of the two games that are upcoming, I think the Warriors will win because I think they're 50-50 to have a bad game.
The Rockets are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing
and
that I...
And they're under so much pressure, right? Because they know that this is the fucking year, right? Next year, Chris Paul is going to be even worse than he is this year.
And he has fallen kind of off a cliff from even last year.
Yeah. So it's, you know, this is the year. This is it for the Rockets, right?
And now here it is. KD's not playing the last two games.
What a fun mirror situation from last year, too.
Yes. And right? If they lose the mirror, because in a way, I know it would be disappointing if the Warriors don't win the championship.
Yeah.
But like, they kind of have like this hip pocket excuse now for not doing so. Yeah.
And they'll have a hip pocket excuse next year when Kevin Durant's playing for the New York Knicks.
Yeah. So
when Kevin Durant gets traded to the New Orleans Pelicans,
there's you could argue that they have less pressure on them now in the series.
Yeah. Let's just play, baby.
And you can argue that the Warriors, I think, play better when the game's just fun. Like they're fine under pressure, but like there's an element to them that they're just like, Steve Kerr is always trying to get them to play with joy and all that stuff. And there's not much evidence that the Rockets like respond under pressure.
Yeah, no, not yet. Can we talk some hot Western Conference playoffs beef?
Sure.
A couple of scuffles involving Curry kids.
Yes, I saw the Will Barton Seth Curry scuffle.
Yeah. And then did you also see the Steph Curry, Austin Rivers scuffle?
No, I didn't.
So that scuffle, little interesting.
Uh-huh.
Do you know why?
Why?
Seth Curry is engaged to be married and has a child with Austin Rivers' sister.
Oh. And is that why?
Yeah. They're like
That's why the scuffle is interesting.
Interesting.
I thought you were saying that's not why the scuffle happened.
No.
That's what I thought.
That'd be very funny to like have that be the thing in the playoffs. No, but that's the kind of interesting thing about it is that these guys are going to have to spend holidays together, you know, every once in a while. You know, there's some family stuff. They got some shared blood down the bloodstream.
Yeah, maybe
how you say that.
Maybe that's one of those things that's just like bloodline, I think.
Yeah.
That I think is just like, oh yeah, well, when we're on the court, we want to kill each other, but we're,
yeah,
you know, like Lillard and Westbrook. Yeah. Off the court, we're fine.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like these Curry boys, they've been a little spicy in the last couple of games.
I think there's
a little spicy Curry.
Not for the Rivers one, but for the Will Barton Seth Curry one.
Yeah,
I think there's an element that of the sons of pro players,
yeah,
being considered a little bit like
soft, yeah,
and like you didn't come up the way I came up,
yeah.
I mean, you are. It must be weird,
yeah,
to come from like a hard scrabble background, fight your way through, you know, AAU and all that stuff, make it to the league, and also make it to a league that's very like centered around like African American culture,
yeah,
as seen through like coming up from the streets.
Yeah.
To then be playing against what is essentially like a millionaire's child.
Yeah. Yes.
Like you're playing against like a rich, a spoiled rich kid.
Right. You're D2, the Mighty Ducks, and they're Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could see some resentment. I always feel that when like it's like Rivers versus somebody or Curry, yeah, versus somebody.
But what happens when it's Rivers versus Curry?
Well, is that's it the
like
thing.
The proletariat fighting?
This is like, it's like Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
I used to feel that with Kobe, too. I feel like people, yeah, felt that way about Kobe.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not like his dad was NBA royalty. His dad was like EuroLeague trash royalty.
Yeah. But he was in the league for a while.
Like a minute. He wasn't.
And then he played a couple seasons.
Yeah.
How many seasons do you think Joe Jellybean Bryant played?
I think Joe Jellybean Bryant played total 60 games in the league.
Ooh. I think it's like three seasons.
Three seasons, 60 games. I don't think
either of us back when they had 20 game seasons.
Yeah.
You are wrong.
Oh,
I'm
fuck.
Very wrong.
Fuck.
He played 8 seasons in the league.
Damn.
He played 600 games.
Whoa.
He started 100 games.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry, Joe Bryant. Damn.
So.
Okay.
That's
fair. All right.
Who we got? So you got the Warriors. You think they're going to do it in 6
or 7? I do think the Warriors are going to do it, and I do see it happening in 7.
So we both think they're going to drop game 6, basically.
I do, yeah.
Okay. My pick of game of Rockets in 6 is not looking good.
I'm going to say it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. That's why they play the games.
Yeah.
All right. Nuggets, Blazers.
Yes.
I watched the second half of this last night.
The last two games have not been the same fun Nuggets Blazers that we've been expecting from the first four very tight games in this series.
Yes, not so much.
And I think part of that's a little bit of the letdown from Game 3. I mean, Game 3 was such a tiring, ridiculous thing. I'm really, really happy that we get a Game 7 here because we can have that amazing, wonderful finish to the series that I think it deserves.
Yeah. I think, first of all, the MVP of the series is Rodney Hood.
Okay. All right.
I still don't think we've seen a great game from Lillard.
He had a good game.
He had a good game. But he hasn't had a, like, I don't think he shot well in any of the games.
You
could actually say he shot well in the last game because he shot very well from three.
Yes.
I'm just saying he hasn't had a game yet where he has, I don't know.
Okay. So, I mean, you're kidding yourself if you think the MVP for the Trailblazers is anybody other than CJ McCollum.
Yeah. It's Rodney Hood. Yeah. It's definitely CJ. CJ has been the most consistent, performer. I will say also, but I'll give a second and third place to Rodney Hood and to Enes Kanter.
Yeah, that's fair.
Enes Kanter's had a good playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, for a guy that was like, he can't get on the court in serious games.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, actually, I can be like a pretty solid contributor.
Yeah.
And I have found his defense to be pretty good.
Oh.
It might be because I wonder if there's an element of like, if he's guarding Jokic, that yeah. there's like a little bit of like, this is like FIBA, you know, like that. I don't know.
Enes Kanter never played. I'm in just Europe. Saying,
you know what
he's
I mean?
He's just like from Europe. Yeah. He played college ball here.
I don't know.
And he played for like two games.
But I feel like maybe genetically it's like, this is a rhythm I can play against.
No.
He defends Jokic pretty well.
Yes, but I don't think it's because they're both European.
I think it is. any other thoughts about this game?
So I didn't get a chance to watch too much of the Game 5 and Game 6, which I don't feel bad about missing because I think they were both a little not close. I think that in Game 7, I think I kind of am going to pick the Nuggets.
Uh-huh.
I think that the Nuggets are going to win. It's funny because I've you know, gone back on a couple of my picks that I did at the beginning because I thought the Trailblazers were going to win. I kind of feel like the Nuggets are the team here because I think that, I feel like I want to see them in the next round more now because I think they're on the rise rather than the Trailblazers, which are like kind of hurt.
I agree with that. I mean, like, I'd rather see Jokic versus the Warriors than, you know. And plus, I mean, I don't know. Considering that I don't really want Harden or Paul to win a championship.
Yeah.
I want whoever's better to get through. And I feel like it's possible that the Nuggets have more firepower. I don't know. I think the Nuggets are going to win too because I think I overestimated, and this is definitely recency bias.
Yeah.
But I overestimated Lillard's ability to like take over a series.
Yeah.
He's most definitively not done that in
the
series.
Not in this one. No, he did it in the last one and he's out of it. Yeah.
Well, this is my, again, potential problems with players is that he also, like, the reason I think they're going to lose Game 7 is they're going to be in Denver and he takes a lot of shots that are like, that's a bad shot.
Okay.
And they go down. They went down in the Game 6.
Yeah.
And I know that he's like he takes shots from the logo. But there's
so
a lot of...
So you've turned into Paul George? That's a bad shot. I'm going to let him take that every time.
That's right.
What, are you going to blow out your knee next?
I think that...
I apologize.
Wait, Paul George is... Knee went out?
No, I don't know.
Didn't his leg snap in half?
His leg snapped in half. It's the same thing. Your knee is the half point of your leg.
I mean, he made a new knee in the middle of his leg.
Jesus, oh fuck. Oh no.
Watching that game, the second half of that game, there's a lot of decisions that Lillard makes that I'm a little like, he's one of those players you can see his like ego building up around him.
Yeah.
When you used to play NBA Jam, when you made two in a row, would the ball like smoke a little bit?
Heating up. You would be heating up. You made two in a row with the same.
Was there any visual
character.
Thing?
Yes.
What would happen?
The rim would get hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you can see that with him.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'm going to start putting my head down and it just makes it a little bit predictable. Now, he made some amazing shots in Game 6.
Yeah.
Where he got bumped and like made some floaters and stuff like that. And it was great. But there were times in that game where they needed points and they needed to calm down, and it was McCollum that did it.
Yeah.
I'll give you another little hint of something that's not, I'm not loving. Is I think the more exposure Nikola Jokic gets.
Okay.
The more people are going to kind of hate him because he is surprisingly, I haven't sat down and watched a ton of Nuggets games. I just like watching his highlights and all that stuff, but he's kind of chippy and like he's a little bit dirty throughout the game.
Yeah.
And I don't...
And he said he's going to wear a shirt next year under his jersey.
Why?
Because he keeps getting scratched.
Oh.
So people he's hate just players a little that bit, wear shirts.
Well, Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like... I like him still. But I think he's... I don't think enough people know him
yeah.
to know that when he's playing against your team, he's doing all sorts of like John Stockton shit.
Ooh.
John Stockton, notoriously one of the dirtiest players in the league.
Yeah.
I want to shout out also a player that I've never watched a full game of, Zach Collins.
Zachary Collins on the boards, killing it.
Yeah, he is actually like a very active, fun player. He's got his limits, but like under the rim, he played very well.
And nobody gets madder about everything than Zach Collins.
Oh, is that true?
That dude is pissed all the time. He fucking, what a shithead of a dude.
Oh, he plays good defense. Is he an annoying person?
I don't know if he's annoying, but he just like, he gets so mad.
Ooh.
He's like a hothead. He's an absolute hothead.
You know else who had a good game that scored 0 points, but had a good game? A player I haven't watched a full game of in a long time.
Talk to me.
Evan Turner.
Oh.
And the reason I like watching Evan Turner play is he dribbles the ball weird.
Yes.
He dribbles the ball kind of way out in front of him. He has a very weird... And so, I don't know. He's not really the player that anyone thought he was going to be.
No.
But I enjoy watching players that play with different rhythms.
Yeah.
And like his rhythm is very kind of like lackadaisical.
Like a Sean Livingston kind of rhythm.
Sean Livingston. I would say both of them are kind of... They can do it because Evan Turner's bigger than you think he is.
Yes.
So, and he's, I think, as a veteran, also bigger. He's wider than yeah. he used to be. But he can kind of just, like, dribble the ball, like, out in front of him, like, catching up to it all the time. It's a very odd way of playing.
An odd future kind of way of playing.
That's right. So, I think Denver's going to win. Have we called all the series?
I
got Raptors. You know what? I'm going to say it. I think the Bucks are going to advance to the next round.
Okay.
Pretty safe that they're going to protect their 4-1 lead.
I don't know, man. Celtics. They could always come back.
Yeah. I think I got I have the Rockets winning that series, and then I have Denver winning that series. You've got the Sixers and the Warriors.
Sixers, Warriors, and we agree, I think the Nuggets are going to pull it out.
Yeah. I don't really know enough about this Nuggets-Blazers matchup to have significant real analysis of it, to be
That's
honest.
That's fair.
Like... Except that Rodney Hood is the best player on the court.
Rodney Hood.
Okay, we're at 52 minutes. Let's do 8 minutes of bullshit Lakers drama talk.
All right. So here's the reason we recorded this at 10 a.m. this morning is because we are both attending the Lakers fan protest outside the Staples Center at 12:30.
Yes.
So come join us if you hear this podcast between 12 and 12:30.
Yeah, I'm going to attend this wearing a Rob Pelinka mask. Oh, by the way, so you should see, seriously, you should delete this episode now if you don't care about this stuff. Because I would like to delete it from my life. And if I was listening to a podcast to talk about this stuff, I would delete it as well. I think this stuff is so dumb. I think the Lakers fan base is insane. I feel like I have to unsubscribe from r/Lakers because they are so... The idea that everybody is so sad we didn't get Ty Lue as the coach is crazy to me. Like, I understand he might be even if you think he's the best available option now, he was considered a joke when the Cavaliers were making those runs compared to...
I want
to
be a joke. Like, the Cavaliers were a joke. I want to be a joke.
Well, also, like, people used to make jokes about his tactical adjustments versus Kerr's.
Yeah, or literally just, like, pictures of his face on yeah. the sideline. And, like, what is Ty Lue thinking about?
And there were, like, multiple... like shots of the bench where it's just like he's not doing anything. LeBron's making the call for the next play, and Ty Lue's just like standing on the side, like not yeah. doing anything. So even all that, let's say he's a good, very good coach, or whatever. Like there was a time very recently on the last team that he coached where he was considered a figurehead and not a good coach.
Yeah,
and now, like it's not that. You can be sad we don't get it, but the idea, it's like we missed out on Phil Jackson. Like here's the greats that we missed out on, yeah. you know? Larry Brown, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, and Ty Lue.
It's so weird to me that this is the thing that has done
the fan base, like,
that has now everybody's gone insane because we didn't get Ty Lue.
Insane.
But part of the other thing is, like, this front office leaks like a sieve.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I feel like the Lakers before Kupchak left, you didn't hear about anything before it happened, right? Like, if it was happening, you heard about it. But, you know, if it was just like front office stuff and whatnot, you never heard about any of it. They were like a drama free from the front office kind of team. And now they have drama on the court. They have drama in the front office. Kurt and Linda Rambis, whose sons I played like baseball with when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Very, very weird twin boys, by the way.
Well, like this Rambis stuff too. Well, this is what I think is kind of silly about all this is that, like, so we can have strong opinions about the way Lakers play on the court. We can have strong opinions about what players and management say in public, but everything beyond that, that's like the inner workings of the front office behind the scenes. We're all depending on basically like leaks and potentially fake reports on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And people are so authoritative about how they feel about the Rambises, about Pelinka, about Magic, about Genie. People are like, well, Genie can't run a business and all that stuff. And like, it's all based on nothing. And like a fair amount of the media reports over the last 3 years, like a not insignificant number of them have been false. Been shown to be false.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know shit about the Rambises. I literally didn't even know they were part of this whole thing until 6 days ago.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think a month ago people were like, boy, the Rambises.
Well, I think people look at Kurt Rambis's track record.
Yeah.
Which is absolute failure as a coach and a front office guy.
Uh-huh.
Right. And they say that guy shouldn't be involved in decision making.
I agree with that in the sense that, like, I don't love the Lakers, like, keep it in the family mentality.
No.
Which is how we had, you know, Byron Scott for a while.
Yes.
Instead of Brian Shaw. Although Brian Shaw would have been the same thing. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, yes, that's true. But we definitely don't know shit about Linda Rambis.
Yeah.
And she is one of the main villains going on right now. And also, I think that there's probably a fair amount of unexamined misogyny going into Genie can't run a franchise.
Yeah.
Linda is like Yokoing the whole Lakers franchise.
Yes. That is very true.
We don't know shit about how Genie runs the franchise.
We don't, but all we have is the fact that it's been kind of a tire fire.
I guess.
Right? The thing that we know is that nothing's gone great.
Yeah. I mean, right? What we really know is like they interviewed some coaches and they didn't hire one. Like, that's really all that's happened.
Yeah. So but like, what else has happened? They've been not good for a while. They've swung and missed on free agents. They got LeBron, but
I mean, getting LeBron is pretty,
that's huge. It's a great success. I'm not going to sit here and say that's not a great success, but the team has not been good under her stewardship. Right.
Like, I guess, but how long has Jim not been there? Like 2 years?
Jim's not been there for 3 years now.
So they drafted who with the first Kuzma and them?
Yes.
Was the first sort of,
so.
Kuzma Alonso.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So it's been two. So that's been two seasons.
It might be BI might have been the first one.
Oh, okay. I think Ingram was a bust pick.
Yeah?
I think. I don't know. Honestly, I think that, first of all, getting LeBron is like a generational pick.
Yeah.
I mean, or, you know, move, right? So it's so weird to me that people are like, well, the front office isn't any good, even though they got LeBron last year.
Yeah.
And there are rumors today that they might, that like, there's what's considered a solid source on Reddit said that they have a good shot at Kawhi.
Yeah.
Let's just say they got Kawhi.
Okay.
If they get LeBron 1 year and they get Kawhi the next, that is a good front office. Like, I don't care what people say about, like, the machinations of what's going on behind the scenes. If you get two of the top five players in the league 2 years in a row, then you are a destination that free agents want to go to, or at least the best free agents want to.
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Okay, but that should just hasn't happened yet, right? It hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And we like.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think that will change the perception of, even if they get Kawhi, I don't think people are going to be like, you know what, Pelinka knows what he's doing. I don't think that will change because they already got LeBron. And
yeah,
people still think the front office is shit.
Yeah, people think they all lucked into it. People think that LeBron didn't do this for basketball. LeBron didn't do this for the Lakers.
I think some of this is just confirmation bias then. It's like you're taking a huge data point in what a front office is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And just dismissing it.
Yeah.
I think that's so...
You're very right about
that. So, and also one thing that's driving a lot of this stuff is the writing of like local LA writers, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know about any of this, like these names until... whatever. But anyway, Bill Oram, who writes for The Athletic.
Yes.
Is one of the people, he's very clearly driving a fair amount of like anti-Pelinka
yeah.
stuff and anti-Genie stuff.
Yeah.
He's also a guy who reported that Pelinka betrayed Larry Nance
yeah.
by telling him to buy a house in Los Angeles and then traded him.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, Larry Nance comes out and says like, what? This, like, I'm fine with Rob Pelinka. This is a business. He never lied to me about my whether I was going to get traded. By the way, he traded him to his hometown.
Yeah.
So, and I looked.
And I didn't see the Larry Nance saying anything about Rob Pelinka, which was interesting. I didn't, that wasn't publicized widely.
Which one?
The, like what Larry Nance said about Rob Pelinka. That's the first time I've heard of that.
The correction?
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Like if you go to The Athletic and look up under Bill Oram, you can see his first article where he's like, you know, Rob Pelinka screwed over Larry Nance. And then on April 30th, Larry Nance tweeted or Instagrammed out his response. Do you think there's a correction on Bill Oram's Athletic page?
No.
No, there's not. And so this kind of like rumor and intrigue, I just think, I guess it's fun if you like getting into this stuff, but like the, I mean, this Lakers fan base, I was telling everybody the whole year, this season doesn't matter. Don't take it so seriously. Like,
have fun. Buy a LeBron jersey.
We're not going to win the championship this year. Probably not going to win it next year.
Like, but when LeBron is 80, we will definitely win that championship with him on the team.
I mean, you know, I never loved the LeBron signing to begin with.
Oh. And
I mean, I don't think I was ever like, oh my God, we've got it now. Because it comes with all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And even the concept of hiring Ty Lue is part of LeBron drama.
Yeah.
He's the only reason anybody wants Ty Lue to be there.
Yeah.
Like, if we didn't have LeBron, do you think the team would be serious? Do you think the fan base would be like, oh my God, we didn't get Ty Lue?
No, not at all.
Because he's like the LeBron whisperer.
Because we'd still have Luke Walton.
Yeah, I mean, we also dodged a bullet by getting rid of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So... and I didn't love, I didn't think Luke Walton was bad. I just thought they needed a change.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting. You know, you were talking about what it'll be interesting to see what we think about KD after all this time.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to me to see what we think of this period in Lakers history, because I think there's a potential that Genie and Rob Pelinka might, I think what they're trying to do is to, like, I wonder if some of this tension comes from Trist trying not to bend to every single thing LeBron wants.
Yeah.
And I think that what if they can thread the needle and put together a team and a coach that they like and maybe get another player in and somehow get the best of what LeBron has to offer in the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Without it becoming a... the Lakers are the one franchise in the league that is not going to become, that is going to resist becoming the LeBron show.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's where some of the tension is coming in. And I hope that if they do that, that they succeed. Mm-hmm. I don't think becoming the LeBron show is going to win a championship.
Wouldn't it be wild if the only reason LeBron signed with the Lakers was to make them bend to his knee?
Yeah.
Bend a knee to him? Is that a Game of Thrones thing?
Bend
a knee.
No, bend the knee.
Bend Danny.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does your sign say at the Lakers protest?
My sign?
Yeah.
Calm down.
Okay. My sign.
I did think about going and trolling the protest.
Yeah, but you got Palm Springs to go to. You know, get yeah. away from it.
But going a full Celtics gear. Brad Stevens.
Oh, fuck.
Run around.
Calm down.
Going to Jamal Murray.
Yes. My sign says Palinko, and it's just a pegboard.
Ooh, I like that.
And at the bottom, all the slots say fire him.
Yeah. Do you want them to fire Rob?
No, Pelinka? I know. I'm just going down there to have fun.
So they need to hire, what was Magic's title?
VP of basketball operations.
Okay, so they've got to hire one of him.
Yeah. I hear there's a John Hollinger who just got demoted in Memphis.
Ooh. That would be interesting and very, like, not what they think.
No, because the Lakers are historically real shitty about advanced statistics.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if Pelinka was not.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, Pelinka was an agent before, right?
Yes, he was.
So, not to say that he knows anything about basketball, but I would assume he knows how to, like, make a good business decision. So,
make it the business.
Like, he's not coming from the Lakers. You know, I'm one of this family.
Yeah.
So no. I think if he...
I mean, other than like he was Kobe's agent?
Yeah.
Does that make him part of the family?
I would just hope that he is a business-minded enough person that if he sees that stats will help,
yeah,
we can make a little shift.
Okay, so who plays Rob Pelinka in the movie about this?
Like, well, it's very easy.
It's Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Who plays Magic Johnson?
Rob Lowe as well.
Okay, and who plays...
Oh, who plays Magic Johnson? Sam Robinson.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Detroit connection.
And who plays Jeannie?
Who plays Jeannie?
Betsy Brandt?
I don't know. I'm trying to think who...
Either of the women from Breaking Bad.
Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah?
And then she can do some stand-up. Sheesh. Who's going to coach the Lakers next year?
You're hearing it here first. Kawhi Leonard's uncle. 100 million year contract.
I got a pick for you. I think it's going to be Frank Vogel.
Oh, old Frankie V.
What's your thoughts about Frank Vogel?
I don't know. Didn't he flame out spectacularly?
Like, in Orlando?
All the Indiana stuff was smoke and mirrors?
That it wasn't any of his doing?
Yeah.
They were first in the conference?
They were great. They were really good.
For a couple of years.
Roy fucking Hibbert, my dude.
Yeah. And then he had a 2-year kind of nothing career at Orlando.
Yes. And to be fair, Orlando is where careers go to die.
Uh-huh.
And Miami is where they go to retire.
Right.
So.
I think it's going to be Frank Vogel. First of all, I don't think they should hire Jason Kidd. Anyway,
I agree.
But also, I would say in this modern generation that maybe hire someone that doesn't have proven Me Too like issues. Like, I don't necessarily want to work with a guy like that. I don't want to be trolled on those lines either. Like, yeah. It's just a whole thing I don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
And on top of which, I don't think. People think he's a great coach.
No. People in Milwaukee have nothing but bad things to say about Jason Kidd.
You know, when we talked to recently about, like, go find a coach that no one knows of that's good, and you were kind of like, where are they? I was like, there must be a cadre of, like, 10 assistants in the league that are, like, good. Like, a lot of the coaches now that are, like, doing well were those guys 5 years ago.
5 years ago doesn't exist, though. There's no history. The history doesn't exist.
Oh.
So take that.
Oh, yeah. Because where did Budenholzer come from? Where did Nick Nurse come from?
Budenholzer's a pop guy. Nick Nurse came from Europe.
But Nick Nurse was an assistant at the Raptors. He got promoted.
Yes.
I mean, these are... where is Fizdale coaching?
Fizdale's in the Knicks.
Oh, he is coaching the Knicks.
Yeah.
So he's coaching KD and Kyrie next year.
Yeah, he was at the...
he's busy coaching them.
He was at the Warriors game the other day. Did you hear that?
Uh-uh.
Somebody was just shouting New York Knicks the whole game.
God. Was he the one?
No.
That would have been great.
It's a joke.
I thought you meant somebody was shouting that at him.
No. Just some. The joke was that Fizdale was shouting it. Shout out.
Is Lenny Wilkins still alive?
Does Lenny Wilkins coach anymore? I thought he retired.
Let's get a photo of Chuck Daly.
Yeah.
You know what? This is when you want to go, you want to get Mike Krzyzewski to leave Duke and come coach the Lakers.
Got it.
You know who probably would love to be like Rick Pitino and John Calipari.
Oh,
be
my
like,
God.
They're in a minute.
Tag team. Yeah, and Rick Pitino would be done in under a minute.
Yeah. We don't really want any of them. But anyway, I don't know who they'll end up with, but I don't think missing on Ty Lue is a big tragedy.
Because he came in 15 seconds.
What's that mean?
Rick Pitino famously in an affidavit, a woman said that he came within 15 seconds.
Oh my God. I did not know this. I thought you were making like a D'Antoni 7 seconds.
No, I was making a Rick Pitino came in 15 seconds.
I thought maybe he had an offense that was 15 seconds or less.
Yeah, he did have an offense that was 15 seconds or less.
So we'll be back on Monday and we'll do all of our conference finals picks.
Yes.
In the meantime, do you have any shows between now and Monday?
Yes, I do. Saturday, I got a show at 3 p.m. at the UCB Inner Sanctum. My friend Jake Jabour wrote a book and is promoting it with an improv show where we're going to do improv based on his book.
Cool.
So it should be a really fun show. Got Big Grande. Going to be a good time.
Nice. I'll be in Paul Springs. Screw you guys. We'll see you Monday. Bye.
Bye.